Second Chronicles 26, 16. When he was strong. So God notices small details in our lives, such as this king, King Uzziah. So here's the king, and King Uzziah, put a crown for him here. He was weak in the beginning, but the longer he lived, he did the things God wanted, he prospered. But sometimes what happens when God prospers you is you become strong. And you forget that when you're weak, then you're strong. And you begin to think, I'm strong in myself. And so God defines this king in a special way and shows what happens when you become strong. So, when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. When you become proud, then the next thing that's going to happen is your destruction. Pride goeth before the fall. So whenever you're lifted up and you think you know what you're doing, or you're going to be able to accomplish this or do that, and you forget God. This king, King Uzziah, lived a long time, and I'll make another king above him. This king up here has a right hand. This will be his right hand. And then he also has a left hand. This will be his left hand. So left is this world, and right is the world to come. Now, in this world, God sets up the priest over here. So the priest operates quite differently than the king. And if you confuse or fuse these two, you get into trouble. So God, who unifies everything, is the only thing that unifies everything. The priest, a pope, a pastor, a imam, a rabbi, cannot unify everything. There's no way that, for example, the priest could also be the king. Priests are not kings. Kings are not priests. There are many things that priests do that kings don't do. There are many things that kings do that priests don't do. For example, we're not a commercial outfit. You know, we don't, even in our banking, we don't collect any interest or anything, because that would be commercial. It would be a profit. We make no profit on anything. Everything we do is whatever God directs us to do, and not what the pastor wants or what David and I want together or some board or whatever else. It's strictly God, and he's very specific about how a church should be operated or run. Anyway, everything has to be holy. It has to be spiritual. It has to be eternally purposed. It can't be for any temporal gain. None. On the other hand, in the world, everything has to be temporal. Everything has to be based upon common goals or temporal goals or secular purposes. And so the two shall never meet. Now, this is God's pleasure. He could do it otherwise. But he chooses to let no one else take Jesus' role as a priest-king. Now, we actually are kings and priests. How many know that we're kings and priests? But we're not doing our kingly job quite yet. We're still into our priestly job, because judgment begins in the household of God first. So the problem with the king is he has to be a righteous king. And no law can make you righteous. Laws make you hypocrites. So the left, on the left, everything that's part of civil governance, all the authorities, all the powers, all the dominions over here, are all this sword, always has to be under law. Okay? So human law, even constitutions, lower law and higher law, human law is always subject to God's higher law. And over here, there should be a fear. There should be a fear of God. Never blow him off. If he tells you there's a separation, then there's a separation. But it's the truth is that in history, priests have always wanted to rule the world, and kings have always wanted to be priests ruling over men without the fear of God. They've always wanted to do a priestly thing. I don't know why anyone would want to do that. I don't know why anyone would want to do that, because it's not that much fun. There's nothing fun about it. So it's a servant job. It's a thankless job. You don't even get paid. Now civil servants get paid more than I do. You know, they're well off. You know, if I had 5,000 members, maybe I could get something better. So, but unfortunately, when you do it God's way, you may not get there. You know, he keeps us humble and poor. Otherwise, I might be strong and lifted up. How many know that I'm capable of doing that? But thanks be unto God, he kept me kind of poverty stricken. So, you know, I don't have anything to boast on. And so I can only be good for nothing. I can't be good in order to get something. I have to be good for nothing. And that's very good for you, because this king also, King Uzziah, when he was younger, he was just a kid. And it took him a long time. He was a humble kind of a guy. He did everything that was right in the sight of the Lord. And he followed his father, which is not literally his father, but his ancestor, David. Now here's what David said when he was dying. He was a king. David was not a priest. He was a king. And David observed the rule that priests don't do what kings do and kings don't do what priests do. In other words, the civil realm, mayors and governors and presidents and so on, the civil realm is completely separate, completely, absolutely different in function, different officers, different laws, different powers, different weapons, different everything. Everything's different. There's nothing in common, nothing in common. Now, David then said these words as he died. Now, David was never a priest. He never went into the house of the Lord and took over, because government has no role in the church. And the church has no role in government, like the popes used to do, where they ran over the emperor and ran over kings and so on. We had 1,000 years of that nonsense. And it's still going on. Even to this day, kings still want to be priests and priests still want to be kings. In other words, pastors want to have a big political role to be able to change and dominate the world and teach them what's right and wrong and then force it. Because everything on the left side is force. You see that sword, that public sword? Now, I don't carry one of those. But if I were a policeman, if I were a president, if I were someone else, then everything that I'm going to do, everything that they do, if they say you pay a tax, they'll force you to do it if you don't. If they say don't make a crime, they'll force you not to make a crime if you do. And they use force. There is no possibility that law would ever go forth without being backed up with force. But in the church, nothing is backed up. In the church, we tell people what to do, and they completely can ignore you, and there's no consequence. Well, there's an eternal consequence, but since that's postponed, most people don't take that too seriously, because they don't fear and love God in the same way. Thanks be unto God, we have a church that does, but most pastors have a little bit of problem there. And so pastors often are manipulators. They will trick their people, and you know, there's a 1,000 ways to do that, but that's cheating. That's cheating. That's why I don't tell on you. I always tell on me. Of course, I tell on Peg because we're one. And I like to emphasize the oneness of that. But if she ever got up, she would tell on, you know, herself. So I'm just saving her because I love her. I'm just saving her, that thing. Now, God has kept these two separate. His right hand, which is your left, his right hand, which is your left, over here, it's all holy. The only thing you can ever give to God over here is holy. In other words, heaven is perfect. So if it's holy, it's perfect. It's been set aside for God's heavenly or holy purposes. So everything over here is eternal, everything over here is temporal. Everything over here is spiritual, nothing over here is spiritual, everything over here is secular. Nothing over here is secular. Everything over here is holy. Everything over here is common. If it's common or vulgar or of this world, it cannot be over here. If a dollar would come from this kingdom over into this kingdom, eo ipso, the moment it comes into this church, it's dedicated to God and it becomes holy. So it's a holy dollar among us. Whereas if it goes back into the world, it again becomes common, that is, useful to all mankind. So God has set up the world in this fashion, and in our day, of course, it's a big argument again of whether church and state should be separated. It should not be an argument, but it is. But it's been 2,000 years since Jesus came, and Jesus affirmed this, but I'm going to show you that even in the Old Testament, even from the beginning of the world, God has always separated these two realms. So there's the what you call the civil realm, that's left hand, and then there's the ecclesial or church realm or any religion. It has a sacred dimension to it. So the secular and the sacred, the holy and the unholy, the clean and the unclean. Now, everything that Caesar does in God's eyes is temporal, therefore it's unclean because it's not perfect, therefore it can't go to heaven. So what God means by clean is something set aside for heaven. Now, if a king is a good king, he stays in his spot. He doesn't get over into the other guy's, you know, it's kind of like a union. You don't do somebody else's job. So you just stay in your jurisdiction. You stay in your limits. It's kind of like having a cord wrapped around you and you can't leave your cord. So if the policeman walks into our church, unless somebody's shooting one another, he should take his gun off or he'd take his hat off or whatever else. Because this is God's space. And in here, the space itself is not what's holy. It's the fact that we're here worshiping God. It's the function that makes it holy. It's the people. It's not the building. It's not the bricks. It's not. There's nothing holy about the building. Although we do have church mice. And I'm sure they're holy. Especially if they get a hold of the communion. Then if they eat some of that, then they've got their sins forgiven and they're okay. So you laugh, but actually that's what the medievals argued about all the time. What would happen if a mouse got a hold of one of the pieces of bread? And what if he drank some of the wine? So no, again, you're laughing. So therefore the priest had to drink all the wine and make sure everything was eaten. Can you tell there could be a little problem there? But after I leave here, I go back in the kitchen, finish it off, so don't worry about it. If the mice don't get it first. Now, this separation is very interesting because it defines justice. Now, civil justice is on the left. But Christian justice, or holy justice, is on the right, but justice keeps them separated. What God has separated, let no man join. So Christendom joined. It joined church and state. And there are many today in our world that want to rejoin them. And the problem with that is, who's going to rule? Is the priest going to be under the king, or the king going to be under the priest? Because if they're under God, they have to be separated. Because it's an institution that God has set up. He's instituted the one, and he's instituted the other. And they're both Johnny-come-latelys. Human self-government precedes both. Human self-government, as an individual, or as a family, or as a people, comes long before there's a civil government. Civil government is late. And Jesus came late. Jesus came late. But prior to Jesus, there was in the Old Testament a covenant cut under Moses, which was a faith covenant on the right-hand side. And that covenant gave birth to a people or a nation called Israel, Israel. Now, Israel means he shall rule. So not only is there spiritual, that's the first four commandments, but there's also temporal, okay, secular. And they apply to this world. Love your neighbor as yourself. Honor your father and mother. Don't steal. Don't kill. Don't commit adultery. Don't bear false witness. Covet and so on. So those six refer to this world. And so the Jews separated out the two. Here the priest only touches those things that belong to the holiness of God. And everything they touch has to be holy. And if an unholy person should touch them, then the whole church or the whole precinct or whatever would be unclean, and it would have to be cleansed before you could use it, and everything unclean would have to be purified by fire, by water, by some sacrifice, until everything was cleaned up again. And that's why the Jewish people today are thinking of restoring the temple. Now, not all, but some. And so they have to have the red heifer to cleanse everything that's been done wrong. And they'll have to build a bridge from the Mount of Olives all the way over to the temple site in order to get it. And the red heifer comes from Texas. Hereford, Texas. It's not a joke. So to have a heifer that's perfect, without blemish, and there are lots of them, and we raise them right here, have to be sent over then. And of course they haven't started the sacrifices, but they already have breeds that are extremely valuable because they're the only thing that would allow a high priest to do anything. So whether they ever make the temple or not is immaterial. And of course we are the temple. I don't know if they noticed that, but Jesus said, "You are the temple of the Holy Ghost." So I don't know why they want a building, but they don't believe in Jesus. They believe that Yeshua is not HaMashiach, but we believe he is. But someday they will recognize that we were right, whether they do build or don't build. Now, I've already seen the high priest's robe. I've already seen the incense. I've already seen the candelabra, it's a big, huge golden candlestick, and so on. So they already have a lot of it done, the altar and so on. Now, this story is very interesting, and now you understand that all the holy things go on one side and all the unclean things go on the other side. So I'll just write some words here. Over here, it's faith. You have to have faith because you can't see it. Over here, it's fear because God says, don't do it or else. And so you'll see what happens to this King Uzziah when he messes up and takes his power right here and refuses to accept God's authority through the law up here and here to submit himself to God. Now here's what King David said. When he died, his last words were, "He who rules over men," left side, "must rule justly in the fear of God." Now, I just explained to you what he meant, was a king cannot be God. A king can never go over into the priestly side and do what is holy. So kings are not sacred. I just ended the divine right of kings. That's what made America. By ending the divine right of kings, the monarch was no longer, he was appointed by God, but he was appointed by God in a restricted sense. Then he became, and the modern world was created by this, he became just a king of this world, but nothing special. So popes were gone, kings were gone. The pope no longer could be over kings, and the king could no longer be over the church. That's called Erastianism, which is where we are today. Today, the churches are again coming underneath the state. Now, it doesn't matter whether it's the imam in Iran or whether it's here in America, but churches are now coming under the scrutiny of the state, and the state is beginning to reach in and touch their finances. They're being able to dictate what they shall do and shall not do and so on. So God has lost his lordship. Remember, Jesus said, "I'll build my church. The gates of hell will not prevail." Well, it's beginning to prevail. So since Jesus said it won't prevail, it's good to preach about the fact that it shouldn't. Now, since they're not supposed to do that, I wanted to read from the Old Testament a scripture that shows clearly what God intended from the foundation of the world. So this King Uzziah was going to follow in David's footsteps, and he would rule over men in the fear of God, and he would be a just king. But when he was strong, verse 16, when he became strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, pride, for he transgressed against the Lord. Now, what's his transgression? How did he sin? How does a civil ruler sin? It's not because of high taxes. It's not because he abuses people. It's not even because he kills people that are innocent, even though all that's wrong. His transgression is when he tries to come over here and no one stops him. So over here, you should have a priest, you know, with his hat on and so on and so forth, stopping him And he should say, you know, thus far and no further. You know, don't come over here. You can't come over here. So here's this priest over here stopping him. Stop. Don't. But the king has the sword and the priest doesn't. The priest, unfortunately, is swordless. He has no commerce. He has no army. So we're not military. We're not commercial. We're in no way part of this world because Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. So since we're not of this world, I'm not allowed to carry a gun or a sword or anything else if people don't do what I tell them. Chop their head off. I would love to do that. It would be great. But I'm not allowed to. So I have to be content with the sword he's given me, which is the word of our mouth. We just simply say, don't do it. And we can't back it up. Nor can we have a profit in this church. That's why I told you our bank account is non-interest bearing. We don't ever earn a penny. Not a penny. We don't have cake sales. We don't have, you know, car washes. We don't have anything. Now you say, Pastor, aren't you going a little bit far? Does the world really care whether you do that? Whether they do or not, I don't even want the appearance of it. So am I overdoing it? Probably. But you know what? It's okay. I mean, if we did it, we wouldn't go to hell and the world wouldn't worry about it. But it's exactly what churches do, because once you put that camel's nose into the tent, pretty soon you start, you know, selling books, and then pretty soon you're making big profits, and then you're making wine and, you know, all this stuff. Did you know we could do that? Christian Brothers Wine, you know. And so it isn't long before you begin to take over. Now, that's why the world doesn't want us taking over, because if we did, I would bring in troops, I would take, you know, commercially, and I would raise up an army and overthrow. So if they start coming in to the kingdom of God, then the kingdom of God, if it's just their creature, fine, then I'll be a creature that I'll soon take over. You don't want that. That's what we had for 1,000 years. We had kind of a little bargain there is, look, let's have no more popes and no more kings over churches. Let's just leave it separate like God put it up. Now, let's read the story and see if you can't see how brilliant God is, how wise he is to separate these two realms. Verse 17, Azariah, this is the high priest, the priest went in after him. So the king transgresses by going into the temple of the Lord. All he did was walk into the temple, but he kept his hat on. He still had his crown. And if he'd have come into the temple only in the outer court and taken his hat off, then no one would have said anything. But he came into the holy place where only priests are allowed to go. So when he went inside, immediately the high priest ran over. Oh, whoa, what are you doing? You can't come in here. He said, I'm the king. Yeah, but the kings don't mess with churches. Yeah, well, I do. I'm going to. And I have my sword right here, so get out of my way. I'll chop your head off. He said, I don't care. Chop my head off. I don't fear you. I fear God. So the priest stood in his way, and the king just mowed him down. He said, I don't care who you are. And he said, well, you don't understand. I don't care who you are. You take your hat off, you take your sword off, you leave that at the door, and you come in as a penitent. But you're not coming in this place. Whatever. You're not a priest. You're not consecrated. You're not dedicated to God. You understand these are holy precincts. You don't enter in. So the king didn't care. He had grown strong. And he felt, you know, I can pull it off now. We can finally tax the churches. We can finally just come and do what we wish. We can do exactly what's been done years ago. And now that we've been separated for all these years, we start unseparating. We can start to enter in. Besides, the churches are inviting us. The church is like a woman. Now, she can either be a bride and stay pure, or she can be a harlot and start winking. Right. She can wiggle her hips and indicate, I'd like a few benefits from y'all. And when she does that, a faith-based initiative, for example, there are no such things. Faith stays over in the church. It doesn't come over in the world. It doesn't take money from the government to build a kitchen in the back, because that kitchen would belong to the government. You take one penny and you no longer control that, because that's public money for a public purpose, and now you have in the church a place where you cannot say Jesus. And they build your church school, you can't say Jesus. They build your sanctuary, you can't say Jesus. Now, they wouldn't give money for a sanctuary, but they would for all those other reasons, and therefore, those are places you cannot teach Jesus. So, it begins tricky, doesn't it? It becomes itchy right now, and everybody is playing that game. See how far we can do it without getting in trouble. It's like steal the bacon. So you can go over the line and grab it and get it back. But the church is playing a dangerous game. It's not the state that forced the church to do it. There's no law that says you have to take this money. It's the churches that want it. Oh, our offerings were down, so we need help. Well, I know, pray to God. I know, but God won't answer. Okay, well, then the government will give it to you. Huh, dangerous. Because God has forbidden the church to take from the state. Anything that's public money, that belongs to everybody. That should not come into the church to build up the church's doctrine or the church's program or the church's worship. Because everything that goes to God should not be tainted. It should be holy and pure. So over here on the right side of God, on the right side, when we worship God, everything from the church should be holy, spotless, pure. And what do you offer God? Nothing. Do you know the only thing you offer to God is thanksgiving that you don't have to offer anything? What makes it holy is that you didn't touch it. What makes it holy is that you had nothing to do with it. Jesus Christ is all our righteousness. Therefore, I have none. So my offering isn't righteous. It's my non-offering that Jesus gave me. When he went to heaven, he said, there's your righteousness. So I thank him. The thanksgiving is not righteous. I'm thanking him because I don't need any more than what Jesus has already done. I'm praising him because of who God is, who gave me everything as a free gift, which I didn't deserve. And I'm adoring him and worshiping him and following him and obeying him, not because I have to, but because he's already done it all. So from the church's point of view, that's holy. Churches have not done that for 2,000 years. They've actually monkeyed around with that and put their works into it, put their own fingerprint on it. Hey, we built that church. Hey, isn't that beautiful? We did that. And when you do that, you now have usurped God's authority, who separated those two and said, don't you give me anything common, vulgar, unclean. I want you to give me only what I ask from you, nothing. So thank me, praise me, worship me, adore me. That's all I want because I did everything. I provided Jesus. We just took his body and his blood. I provided him so that you wouldn't have to sweat. You wouldn't have to work. You could enter into my rest. Now, I know that what I'm saying isn't clear, but it's clear what I'm saying. It's just not clear what it means. Nevertheless, you need to meditate on it a long time, that what God wants is nothing. Anything of you is going to perish. Anything that you touched, anything that you had anything to do with, if you had a little string attached to it, hey, God, I helped you there. He doesn't like that. So he has separated out the two. Now, in this world, he will never judge this world until he's done judging the church. He's not even interested in cleaning up politics. He's not interested in cleaning up the economy. He's not interested in cleaning up society. Now, you can work all day long on that, all you want. The problem is the church. All political liberty, all social liberty, and all economic liberty is totally, 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 totally the fruit of spiritual liberty. This kind of pure worship is what God's after. Now, if a Muslim does it, it's not pure. It's not pure. If a Hindu does it, it's not pure. It doesn't matter. It's not man's decision to figure out which one is pure and impure. God knows. So, whoever does it, let every man do according to his own instinct. Everybody individually and everybody collectively. You can do as you wish. Now, the king has no right to say which religion is true, and you have no right to decide. You just decide for yourself. So if you decide for yourself to govern yourself under a Christian religion, that's just your choice. Nobody forced you, because on the right side, there's no force, there's no sword, there's no external compulsion or compelling. But over here on the left side, everything is forced. Force is everything. Over here. And I told you before that laws make hypocrites because nobody's pure. And therefore, all the law wants is be a hypocrite. Just outwardly do what I tell you to do. Just conform. And if you don't, we'll force you. Now, they don't force you to love your neighbor. They just force you not to injure your neighbor. So they don't say, love your neighbor as yourself. That's over here. This one says, love God, love the church, love the synagogue, whatever, and love your neighbor, and so on. So over here, this is a positive. Over here, it's a negative. The way to love the neighbor is don't injure him. So God will not judge this civil government under a positive law, but only under a negative law. So here it's positive, here it's negative. So over here, you cannot get to God under a law. If you have a law-based religion instead of faith, it's unacceptable to God because you had something to do with it. Laws tell you what to do for God, but the gospel tells you what God has done for you. Now, you get to decide then how you want to live your life. If you want to be under pressure, then you're on the left hand of God. So religions, that's something that everybody decides for themselves. We don't force anybody. We don't compel anybody. We don't argue with anybody. We don't manipulate anybody. I never tell people they're wrong. I just say you're wrong. But that's up to you to figure that out. The best thing I can do for you is just say it. And then you get to decide for yourself because I have no way to back it up. Zero. Nor do I want to. I'm not even praying that I had more power and more force, but which I did. But I'm not even praying that for your sake, of course. No, you see, I'm not allowed to be a king. I'm only allowed to be a servant of the living God and just say, what is the truth? If it is the truth, you decide. I don't get to decide. I can tell you, thus saith the Lord, but you have to decide whether that thus was what you heard. And if you didn't, don't do it. Even if I'm right, don't fear me. Fear God. So all I can do is offer it. I throw it out, and if somebody accepts it, praise the Lord. And if they don't, praise the Lord. You know, it won't bother me. It won't bother me. If you don't make it, that's okay. I was as dumb as you were at one point, and I was really dumb because I felt like I knew something. Has anybody ever been proud like that? I felt like, well, you know what? I'm not your average, ordinary dumbbell. I'm smarter than that. I'm not a weakling. I can do things. I can accomplish things. I'm not a really evil person. I'm an evil person that knows how to do a few good things, which is very nice of me. So, no fair pointing. So God set up the world so that everything on the right is free. That's where liberty comes from. Everything on the left is forced. That's where law comes from. Now you understand why he put the garden, a tree that said, don't eat. Now what happens if you do? Ah, there's the problem. What if somebody did sin? What if they did cross the line? What if they did fuse the two? Well, it happens all the time. If God puts a marriage together, the devil can separate them. What God has joined together, let no man put asunder, but it happens all the time. What God has separated, let no man put together, but people do it all the time. Here's a man that's married to this woman, here's a man that's married to this woman, and so on, and they can combine, and they can recombine. They can do all kinds of things. Even though God separated them, they can join. Even though God said, leave this together, they can separate it. You see, God really doesn't rule this world. He obviously appeareth weak. But Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I say he's strong, but you see, I'm a faith person. I don't have to see it to believe it. Now, you don't have to behave yourself. If somebody here wants to lie to me, you can. And the only way I could know that you're sinning, and I do, by the way, but the only way I could know that you're sinning is to have done it myself or something real similar, which makes me suspicious because I know what I've done. I know how treacherous, how tricky I am. Is there anyone like me? I'm so devious that I can actually hypocritically look like I'm nice and innocent and so on, and I can be a real devil. And Peggy's even better than I am at that. You don't think she is? Peggy, are you? Did you see? They don't believe you. Just tell them. See? I don't have to even point. Now, we are all sinners. That's why God set this up. The reason that he set this up, everything on this side of him, here I am, I'm God. Everything on my right hand is voluntary, it's free. But I set it up in such a way that there'd be no labor over here, no law, no force, no work. Everything's finished. I just sent Jesus, said, Jesus, whatever they did wrong, cover it. If they're supposed to die, you do it. Whatever blessings they don't have, give them the blessings. It's free. Don't charge anything either. Just give it to them for free. Oh, I love that. That is why I'm a happy camper. Because over here, one could come in as a sinner. And then let him, he has a little ways and means committee, that by the time you die, he can clean up your life. Spirit starts out with a new spiritual birth, then he takes your soul, and then pretty soon he takes your family and your outer life and so on. And before you know it, you're holy. Oh, by the way, you don't get to see that. So you're not going to see it, you just have to believe it. But when the trump sounds someday, you have a new body and a new soul, and you will be perfected. But in this world, you only see glimpses of it. Every once in a while, someone will say, you're a Christian, aren't you? And it's a real surprise. It's like a shock. Like, wow, how'd that happen? You used to be such a scoundrel. So that's an exciting thing. David, I know, saw that when you were younger, and I was more of an open monster. He saw that I really wasn't treating mom right. But then when he got married, I remember asking him, I said, Dave, you know, I forgot to tell you some certain things and so on. He said, don't worry about that, Dad. Well, I'm sorry about that. He said, no, don't worry about that. I watched how you mistreated mom earlier and then how you changed and you got better. So my marriage will be fine. So that was cool. It's like, whoa, that's pretty simple. I didn't know what he was talking about either. And he didn't blame Peg. I didn't understand that. He thought the whole problem was me. which then puts all the weight on him. So Mary, you cannot sin. Even if you do, it's David's fault. So don't worry. If something goes wrong, it's not you, it's him. So he learned that from me. Y'all see that? Now, it's the same with you. Jesus has covered all your sins. You're his bride. Just don't be a harlot. Don't move over. Now, if you are, there's still mercy. There's still forgiveness. So let's say you don't do everything right. It's all right. Now, this king came into the temple. When he came in, the high priest stopped him, but he wouldn't be stopped. So 80 priests, 80 priests, went back by the altar of incense because they noticed the king had an incense thing. He was about to make a sacrifice. He was going to do something holy. And he went back there, and those 80 priests blocked the incense thing, and the king came up, get out of my way. And the priest said, get out of here. Now, when the government tells the church what to do, it's playing God. The church only has the right not to tell the government what to do, but to tell the government what not to do. Get out of this place. This is our place. We're not coming into your place. Get out of our place. But the minute you transgress or trespass, as this king did, leprosy came up into his body the moment he expressed his wrath and said, get out or I'll slay you all. You will not stop me from coming in. We won't. But God will, and God did. And the Bible says the king knew it. And so being a leper, that is the one thing that's obviously unclean in the house of God. And so immediately they said, get out of here, because they all saw it. It was down here, and it rose right up into his forehead. It was right there, plain as could be. And the king felt it. He knew, oh my God, God has done this. And he himself, they pushed him out, but he also himself hasted to go out. That's telling you something about what's going to happen. Not what did happen, what will happen. When the church is the church, now if it's a hypocrite, you can't do this. If she's been winking and wanting to fool around a little bit and take benefits from the government, then it's your own fault. And if you decide not to separate the two, it's your own fault. And I blame the church entirely for that. Judgment begins in the household of God. If we don't stay pure, if we don't stay separate, if we're not holy and the government doesn't recognize it because they see us playing around, fooling around and being hypocrites about it, well, then the government has a right to take what's his. Because you just are a church in name, but you're not a church in truth. If you don't really worship God, and if you're not really following Jesus, and if you're not really worshiping him with all your heart, you're starting to do things and be proud and lifted up, then he has no reason to protect or defend you. That's what I'm concerned about in our church, but in the church, is there are many churches today that are playing games, and they'll be caught. Now, we're not better than they are. We're exactly the same as they are, but we need to repent. And that's the only thing that makes us different is we repent. It's wrong. We shouldn't have messed around with his kingdom. We should have stayed in our own. Now, that which is of God has to be holy. So don't be a hypocrite and say, I'm of God, when you're not, because then judgment will come upon you. But if the government now starts to come into the church, here's the way to defeat them. You tell them to go, but you immediately, when he's pushed out and the leprosy has come on him, you go back and say, you know what? I'll bet it's our sin. I'll bet we, the church, did it first. I'll bet we brought this on ourselves. Now, that doesn't mean the king was right. He was wrong. By the way, he died a leper. He was not allowed to sit on the throne any longer, though he was the king. He was put into a several house, which means he was separated and he died not like other kings. He was never allowed to rule again. That is the judgment of God on a king that overstretches. What then is the judgment of God on a church that overstretches? Well, we become lifted up. We become proud. We have 1,000 years, 2,000 years of pride where we have thought, well, you know, the Jews messed up. We'll take over. And even now, I see Christians wanting to force other people to believe they believe or to do what they want them to do or to have the morals we want them to have or to conform to our way. And so that's called dominionism. That's called dominionism. We'll take over the media. We'll take over the schools. We'll take over. Yeah, take over. You couldn't even handle your own church. Why do you want to take over something else? To mess it up like you've messed up yourselves? Now, this is really good preaching, but you may not recognize it as such, because you may not want to know that it isn't the kingdom of this world that God's interested in. You are the light of this world, and if the light in you be darkness, how great is the darkness? So today, the political problems of this world, the social problems of this world, and the economic problems of this world are due to us. Not because we're involved in those things directly, I just told you we're not. We are to be a light indirectly so that the world can look and say, how do y'all get along like that? Why is it that God has blessed you? But today, the church itself is playing too many games. It looks like mammon to me. It looks like a lot of churches are preaching mammon. That what they're calling God is nothing more than materialism. It's nothing more than feeding the flesh. They're not killing the flesh. They're leaving the flesh live. But the sacrifice, I told you, the holy sacrifice is that God doesn't want anything human. So you must deny yourself. You must take up your cross daily, 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 and follow him. So it's not Jesus dying for you once for all. It's you dying daily. Denying yourself, crucifying your flesh. If you lose your life, you find it. The day you're no longer concerned about yourself is the day you recognize that God is your Father and that he has provided everything for you. Why provide for yourself? Why be selfish? Why worry about yourself? Why ever complain or murmur? Now, you know you're not allowed to murmur. If you're a murmurer, if you're in any way sad, if you're in any way mad, if you're in any way grumbling about this world or about the church even if you're criticizing fellow members of the church, you've missed it because the log's always in your own eye. So I can't judge you. I can't. If I point the finger, three come back at me. I have to always say it's my fault. And I will. I can't point at my wife. I can't point at you. I never will. I don't. I would never think it was your fault. Never. You might think, well, he's saying all this, so we'll change. I'm not. I'm just telling you the truth. I'm not. I've been with you long enough to know you aren't going to do it anyway. So I'm not. No, I'm not even worried about that. I'm only talking to me. The only one that enjoys this sermon is me. This is awesome, Pastor Jim. Keep going. That's good. That's me. I'm enjoying it. And that's the truth. I'm not play acting. I'm telling you, that's the truth. I don't preach to you. I preach to Peggy. I preach to myself. That was a joke. That was a joke. So God is good. I hope you see this king who left the presence of God, and God told him, you never come in here again. And he never did. From that day forward, the government left the church alone. His son, Jotham, followed in the footsteps, not of his father, Uzziah, but in his great-great-great-grandfather, David. And he ruled in the fear of God, justly, because he divided the two kingdoms and never came out of his boundaries. Psalm 2 says, why do the nations rage? Why are the kings of the earth gathered together in conspiracy? It's because they're against the Lord, first, and his anointed, the one he has assigned. Why? So they can cast their cords far from us. In other words, they don't like being bound by law. They don't like being bound by God. The left side is always impatient with bonds. The government wants to expand more. It hates being restricted, restrained. The only restraint on the government would be a pure church. Otherwise, there would be no restraint. The only reason that our Constitution is there is because Christians were able to write that. Judeo-Christian foundation. That's what produced the liberty that no other nation, they could talk about it, but they never had it. Even England. England to this day is still not a Christian nation. It has a name, Christian nation. This nation is not Christian. It's a nation that was founded on Christian principle, but it itself is not a Christian nation. That's left side. Nations are always left, but Christians are in the people, not in the government. They cannot be part of the political, economic, social system. They cannot be part of the military order. We can't go around and saying, well, whatever the military does is wonderful. No. We cannot be that kind of rah-rah group. Our whole thing is to make sure we've done what God said. Leave the world alone. Your fault is that you're not the church, not that you didn't infect the world. So like Chris said, gee, we'd like to have an impact on the world. Well, the best impact is don't. The best impact is do what God told you to do. You stay pure. You love your wife, your family. You stop doing your own work and let the Holy Spirit transform you, so that you begin to love one another and get rid of yourself. The world can't get rid of yourself. Even when it cleans yourself up hypocritically, yourself is still there. Only the church can do it, and the church is not doing it. The church is not teaching people to self-govern under God. They're teaching people to feed their flesh. And that's why churches are building beautiful edifices. They're doing all that stuff to expand their own ministries. And that's why government is expanding. The more you expand, the more the government's going to expand. The more the government expands, the more the churches expand. But you know what? It's not the church anymore. God wants a pure, spotless bride. And he's coming back for one. Now, we will survive forever. The rest of this world will not. Liberty will not go out of business, because you are always free. If the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. So if you imagine that political problems are solvable, or that economic problems are solvable because you follow this procedure or that, or social problems are solvable, you're wrong. Families can't even get along, let alone nations, let alone cities. There's no way you're going to solve any of those problems except the way God set it up. Let the church be the church under God, and let them no longer do things. Let God be the one that said, it is finished. I hope you're blessed today. Hope you see it. All right. God is good.